So I have a short message, and I think I've got time for it. But do you realize that a lot of what happens in our world, a lot of the way we function as a society, is governed by fear? Do you know that governments control people by instilling fear in them? You're told that there's a deathly disease coming, but if you pay this money, or if you get this insurance, or if you take this, you can be exempt from it. Or, hey, you know, there's an enemy out there that wants to destroy your way of life, and but if you pay your taxes, we'll protect you from it, right? So we're governed by fear. But there's an overarching fear that's in our society, that's in culture today, that particularly, I believe, the younger generations experience and feel. But it's a fear that every human being, I believe, struggles with, and it's a fear of significance or lack of significance. It's wanting to make your life count for something more than simply getting through life. It's actually a fear of saying, man, if I come to the end of my life and I haven't made it count, will people remember me? And that's why we have the proliferation of social media and people wanting to do crazy things, people even climbing the Empire State Building and flying a flag from it, right? We want to be known. We want something to make our mark in society and have a lasting impact. There's a generation that fears insignificance. You ask anyone in college age or even beyond that and say, what is your greatest fear? To really dig down, they'll admit, yes, I want to have a life that's worthy, a life of significance, a life that counts and makes a difference. But what if I told you that everyone in this room, every one of you, could have an immeasurable, eternal impact in this world? Every one of you can have a life of eternal significance and have a life that is remembered not just on this earth, but for eternity in heaven. And I think for me, I want to be remembered in heaven. I don't care if I'm remembered on this earth. This is a fleeting life. This goes, it passes away. But not only is our name written book in the our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but our name is also written in the history of what God has done on this earth, the record of what God is doing on this earth. And what I'm going to talk about in a few minutes is how to live that life of eternal legacy, that life of eternal significance, making your life count. And this is not a graduation speech, right? This is for all of us. No matter how old you are or how young you are, we have a privilege as followers of Jesus to leave an eternal legacy for Him, for His glory. I'm talking about the greatest story ever told. They shared, Christian and the team shared frequently about, we shared the gospel, we shared the gospel, we shared the gospel, but it's the good news, it's the message of salvation. It's the only way of salvation. The gospel message is powerful. It's life-changing. It's supernatural. It goes way beyond us. But it's the only message that can have an eternal impact. It's the only message, it's the only gift you can give someone that has eternal rewards. Nothing else lasts forever. But the gospel message will continue on. And by keeping this message to ourselves, though, we're withholding the good news. By keeping this message to ourselves and saying, well, I'm too scared to share it with you, we're withholding an eternal difference in that person's life. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, he was writing his first letter to the church in Corinth, and he was reminding them of the gospel. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm just going to read the first 8 verses. This is the most succinct, clearest explanation of the gospel that we've got anywhere in the Bible. And Paul just lays it out for them. He says, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures, And that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. The gospel message. He says, I deliver to you this as of first importance. It's the most important thing that I've ever told you, Paul says. And I'm reminding you of this. James Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, was sharing with some English students in England and encouraging them to go on the mission field and teaching them about missions. And he reminded them of the story, or shared the story. He had a Chinese man that worked with him in his ministry in China by the name of Peter. And one day they were on a boat, and they were going up a river, and Peter fell overboard, and Peter couldn't swim. But there were some fishermen in another boat not too far away, and so Hudson Taylor yelled at them, said, please help him, catch him. He's drowning. And the fishermen just continued fishing. They just kept on pulling in the fish that they were pulling in, and they ignored him completely. And Hudson Taylor yelled and said, just reach out your hand. He's right there. Just rescue Peter. And they just ignored him and kept on pulling in the fish. And eventually, they'd finished their pulling in their nets, and they turned and pulled Peter out of the water, but he'd already drowned. And they couldn't revive him, and he died. And so as Hudson Taylor is sharing the story with the students, he says, what do you think of the Chinese people? And they said, well, they, you know, they were heartless. They didn't care. They could have done something at least to save this man. And their understanding was that they would not have done the same thing. They would have done differently. They would have chosen differently. They would have made every attempt to save them. And then Hudson Taylor responded, he says, I saw differently. I think the Chinese are like most Christians today. They're unconcerned with the plight of sinners who are now just a grab away from them. And the reason is that they are so busy with their work. We get so busy in life, people are drowning all around us. And we have the message. We have the opportunity to share the gospel, but we're busy. Life is busy. I believe we are too busy. We're too busy for even the opportunity to share the gospel, to share the life-saving message of the gospel. So just in a few moments, I want to share just 5 points to bring some clarity to practical guidelines to sharing the gospel, the ways that we can all do it, just quickly. One is, firstly, you cannot share what you do not have. You can't share something that you don't own and know for yourself. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in order to be able to introduce people to Jesus Christ. It's not simply attending church or attending a life group or even raising your hand in a meeting. It's about having that personal relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, asking Jesus to become Lord of your life. It's a personal relationship with Him. Should be able to ask every one of you, did you talk to Jesus today? Is he your friend? Because that's the relationship. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Secondly is know your story. Every one of us has a story. So these team were sharing their testimonies, but every one of us should have a story, if you know Jesus, of what your life was like before Jesus and how you encountered him and what your life is like now. It's a very simple way of sharing the transformational power of the gospel in your own life. Know your story. Be able to share your story. And maybe it's not your salvation story. Maybe it's just a miraculous story of what God has done in a particular moment in your life. Provision or healing, something that God has done. And you can share that with those around you. So I invite you to know your story. The third one is to know the gospel. Know the gospel message. Paul writes it very succinctly here in 1 Corinthians 15. But the gospel message, very simply, God created the world. He created everything. It was perfect. It was good. And he put Adam and Eve, he put man in the garden, and they sinned. They turned their back on God. And as they sinned, a gulf was formed between God and man that man could never cross over to have a relationship with God. It was impossible. No matter how many sacrifices people offered, no matter how much we did to try to be good enough for God, there was nothing that we could do to reach out to God and rebuild that relationship with Him. But God, in His great love for us and His provision for us, He sent His only Son, miraculously born of a virgin, and He lived a perfect, sinless life on this earth. And for 3 years, He ministered on this earth and gathered disciples around Him to share the kingdom of heaven. And He was crucified. He died a cruel death on a Roman cross. But He was more than just a death. He was a sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God, slain for the forgiveness of the sins of the world. Jesus' death wasn't just an accident. It was a perfect sacrifice. And Jesus died and He was buried. And His blood, we believe and proclaim that His blood has the power to forgive us of our sins. But Jesus didn't just stay dead. He rose from the dead. And He appeared to over 500 people at one time. And He's alive today, living in heaven at the right-hand side of the Father. He's interceding for us. But more than that, He's coming back again. He is coming back again to take His bride, the church, to be with Him. That's the gospel message. Every one of us can share that message. It's the hope of salvation. And then finally, or not finally, the fourth point is you're offering not an exchanged life, not an addition to your life, right? When we invite people to give their lives to Jesus, we're not saying, hey, could you just take this little bit and add it to your life? Televangelists and YouTube specialists do that all the time. Hey, add Jesus to your life, and but give us $500 as seed money and things will go well with you. Life will be great. No, you're calling people to an exchange life. You're calling people to die to their old way of life. It's a life of sacrifice. It's a life of, Jesus said, in this world you would have trouble. We preached about it a few weeks ago. You're calling people to die to their old way of life, to their old self, and to make Jesus Lord of their life, an exchange life. D.L. Moody says, there is no better evangelist in the world than the Holy Spirit. And that's the final point, and this is the crucial part of evangelism. We don't save anyone. You might say, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism, so I cannot go out and share the gospel. Here's the truth. None of us in this room can save anyone. But the Holy Spirit is the one that draws people to Himself. So we allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction of sins. We allow the Holy Spirit to make people aware of the need of a Savior. And then they come to us and say, I've had this experience. I heard some of your team share this. Actually, where was the guy that was talking to the person online? Logan. Yeah, I had exactly the same thing as, I need Jesus and I know you can help me. What? How does that happen? The Holy Spirit draws them in. The Holy Spirit draws them in. And we have stories. You see, here's the problem, though. We wrestle regarding evangelism because we have 1,000 reasons why we cannot do it. We don't have time. We're not gifted. Well, I don't really know. I'm going to get caught up in apologetics, and they'll ask me questions I don't understand or I don't know the answer to. We're prone to see evangelism as something that's expected of us, right? Athol told you, you have to go and share the gospel. So better go and do it now, right? But really, it's a joy. It's an opportunity. It's a privilege. It's an incredible privilege to share a life-changing message with those around us. You see, if we see evangelism as for what it really is, it's exciting to go and share what Jesus has done for that person and for us. We are Christ's ambassadors. And as an ambassador, you go not in your own authority, you go with His authority, His protection, His power. We're His ambassadors. We don't rely on our own strength, rather we rely fully on the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. We have the greatest news ever told. And it's the only news that can save people. And we're not responsible for the results. If you're sharing the gospel, you cannot fail. A Bible commentator once says, "You have not failed if you explain the gospel and are rejected. You failed if you don't try." Don't you want to be useful for God? Don't you want to be used by God? Don't you want to have some of the stories that some of these guys have? God wants to use you. He wants to invite you in to His story. And I encourage you to be a part of that. One of the most dangerous prayers you can pray as we wrap up is, "God, would you give me your heart for the lost?" Because if you know God's heart for the lost, He is the Father and the prodigal son. He is looking to the horizon. His heart is breaking for the lost. And if God gives you His heart for the lost, I guarantee you, it'll be heavy. You'll see people the way Jesus sees them. And you'll have a heaviness in your heart for the lost. It would overwhelm you if you knew really what God's heart is, I'm sure. It would overwhelm all of us. But the joy, the privilege that we have is to be His hands and His feet, His ambassadors, to share the good news with those around us. So I invite you this week, if you want to come out Wednesday night, if you want to come to Concourse Park on Thursday, we'll come out this afternoon, but just come and join us after the service. We're going to be in the dining room, and just come in here and see how God might lead you and see the opportunities. But you don't have to just do it this week, right? It's every day. It's this afternoon. It's when you go and fill up gas at the gas station or go to Walmart and do your groceries. The opportunities to share the good news are all around us at all times. And then pray for God to bring people to your life that walk in and say, "I need Jesus and I know you can help me. I want to have some of those stories." So I'm going to invite you guys to come up. You're going to close in a song and I'm going to pray. And we'll just wrap up with one. Wish, do you have one? I'll just, yeah. Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would give us your heart for those around us. Give us an excitement. Give us a passion to share the good news of Jesus with those around us. And Lord, I pray that you would be blessed. You would be glorified. And may we see many come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.